close your eyes for just a moment and think about a work of art in any medium that you think is great. Picture that. It may be a musical thing too. There's areas of activity, and there's areas that have little activity within it. You could say that about every great work of art. Our lives would probably be characterized by a lot of activity. You know, you ask anybody, how you doing? They say, I'm really busy. But I feel that there's a provision for us where we can have the times of low activity while we're very busy. We can have times where we can hear Father and we can communicate to Him even though we're physically very busy. And it's found in Ephesians 6, and it's in verse 18. We'll get there, but don't turn to that yet. Turn to Isaiah 53. But in Ephesians 6:18, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times. Pray in the Spirit. Now, what is praying in the Spirit? In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul talks about singing in the Spirit and singing with his mind, praying in the Spirit and praying with his mind. So it's speaking in tongues. This is a tool for us that our spirit can communicate directly with God and Him with us too. Amen. So I think that is important for all of us to develop. It's a gift for everybody, and you know, it doesn't shift our brains into apathy or deadness. It's, you know, your brain has to deal with a lot of stuff during the day, but your spirit's free to worship and talk to God. That's right. So I've been, you know, when God told me this, pray in the Spirit at all times, it sort of was a challenge to me, and I started practicing this, and I noticed it was changing me, and not for the worse, for the better. I thought I'd better clear it up. So, I just lay that before you. So now let's get into the real stuff. But this is related. Isaiah 53 is the chapter that we consider is prophetic about Christ, about His suffering. I'm going to ask my Jewish friend that's Orthodox how they feel, who that was written about. It just came to me in the service. I thought, I got to ask him, who's that written about? I want to hear what he has to say. That'll be fun. But I wanted to look at verse 11. And I'm going to cut it up. I apologize. But I saw something in this. It says, by His knowledge, My righteous servant will justify many, and He will bear their iniquities. By His knowledge. And the footnote says, by His knowledge of Him. Well, who's Him? I mean, Christ is God. It's His knowledge of who He is. It's His knowledge of Father. By His knowledge of Himself, My righteous servant will justify many and bear their iniquities. So then I started thinking about Paul's prayers about us knowing the Father and how important that is for us. Okay, so let's turn over to 2 Peter if we could. There's something pretty cool there. Okay. Second Peter, and that'll be 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And I would like you to read the whole thing, but I want to, just for the sake of time, we'll go down to verse 9. And let me paraphrase this a little bit. But whoever does not have them, in other words, the knowledge, is nearsighted and blind. And I thought that was interesting. I don't think I've met a blind person that was nearsighted. But I bet you there's a lot of nearsighted people that are blind spiritually. So we desperately want to know Him. In Ephesians 1, it says that when we see Him as He is, we'll be like Him. And let's go over to Romans 13. There's something fun there. I'm just kind of laying some groundwork here. Bear with me. And we'll start in verse 12. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Okay, so it's taking one thing off and putting on another, right? Put aside the deeds of darkness. Well, how many of you have ever watched a crustacean shed its shell? You know, shrimp and crabs and lobsters and such, they molt. Spiders do too. And a lobster, like right at its low back, will split, and the thing will have to work its way out. Now, the interesting thing about this is it's shedding its old self. All of the injuries and all those things fall off. Then, like, it could be missing a leg or have, you know, a broken antenna. And then there's a period of very rapid growth where all of those injuries are restored. Isn't that a miracle? This is what this scripture is talking about for us. I think this could be a daily thing for us to just shake off the yesterday. Shake off the damages that we've incurred through this life. I mean, we get them even if we're not aware of them.
That's right.
And it's important for us to not carry them along like luggage. Have you ever gone somewhere on a jet and you got to your destination and there was no luggage? And when I went to South Africa, that happened. They left it in D.C. So here I am in a foreign country with nothing but my little carry-on stuff and no baggage. So what do you do then? You go out and get some new things. So when you don't bring your baggage along, you have the opportunity to get new things. All right. Amen. So, It says in verse 13, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the interesting part. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. One of the other translations says, make no provision for the flesh. You know how we always carry around that plan B in our head a little bit? So when the flesh rears its ugly head, start praying in the Spirit. Don't think about how to gratify that thing. Because what we know that the flesh has been crucified with Christ. And our new life is in Christ. Don't think about it. Just ignore it. Because if we're praying in the Spirit, I think we're dealing with that flesh. You know, it's like muscle memory. You know, when you first start a sport or some kind of physical skill, you have to practice and practice and practice until your muscles memorize it. And then it's easier. Isn't that right?
Right.
And maybe it's the same way, you know, reciprocally for the flesh. We have to forget it and forget it and forget it and forget it. And then pretty soon it doesn't have any desire for us. Galatians 5, please. Verse 16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. Not living peacefully, they're in conflict. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, he wasn't really talking about law, but let me explain this. Probably all of you already know this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. It's good to do good things. It's good to be nice. It's good to be lawful. But that doesn't help us approach Christ. There's far too many people sitting in churches today that are involved in religious effort. They want to do the right thing because that pleases God, right? I think the scriptures say it's impossible to please God except by faith. So, anyhow, it doesn't work. So, being led by the Spirit raises us up above doing right and wrong. It's another thing completely. And that is acceptable to God because we're in relationship with Him.
That's right. Yeah.
I really believe that He's calling us to Himself in a greater measure so that we commune with Him, we listen to Him, we talk with Him. Praying in the Spirit is talking to God. You know, somebody may think, well, you know, I don't have the gift of tongues and, you know, whatever. God will make it clear to you. He lavished gifts on all of us. And we don't even know. We don't even know the depth of what He's given us.
Amen.
Hopefully we will know.
Right.
But getting close to Him, we will know ourselves better. We'll know the rich deposit that He's put in each of us, in this group, in this land. I mean, it just goes on into infinity. It's very important for us to know these things. Because if we don't know who we are, then we're not going to be totally totally effective. You know, David mentioned Gideon. Gideon said, you know, I'm the least in the least clan and the least family and everything. Well, he might have been right, but he wasn't seeing it from God's perspective. Because God said he's a mighty warrior. So don't look at your own limitations or your own excellence. None of that matters. It's all doo-doo, you know? It's all about God, what he's done in us. The rich deposit. When you dig up gold, it, you know, it doesn't look fancy. I mean, it's a pretty color, but it's a lump or a flake. It takes the skilled goldsmith to make something gorgeous out of it. And we have to bring our lump of gold to God so he can fashion it into something creative and something useful. It's not for us to do. You know, you can take sandpaper and sand yourself up and make yourself all shiny in your opinion, but it doesn't matter. It's what God builds. One of the things that occurred to me is every circumstance, sin, injury, blessing, etc., God uses to conform us to Christ. Right. And, you know, I think that's the sentiment of Romans 8:28. Yeah. Everything. There's nothing wasted. So we don't have to shrink back from him because we goofed up. Let him use it. Rejoice in it as if you'd chosen it. Doesn't he say in another place, rejoice in all things? You know, I've got a practical example. I'm rejoicing in this, my hand. It's been fantastic. Do I want it forever? Of course not. But it doesn't matter. I mean, it matters to Father. You know, it's on his docket somewhere. It's not critical, though. You know, there's people here that are critical. Those are the ones that I want to see something instantaneous happen to. Amen. But in everything, he's with us. We've got nothing to cry about, but everything to rejoice about. But talk to him and listen. The periods of activity have to be balanced with periods of low activity. Right. It's not the earthquake or the wind or the fire. It's that still small voice. One last thought. 1 Corinthians 1:30, I'll read it to you. Paraphrased, of course. God made Christ our wisdom, our righteousness, our consecration, and our redemption. I don't think he missed anything. Let's just thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being everything to us and doing everything in us that's worthwhile. We just accept your hand even when we don't recognize it. And we give back to you the sweet voice of the Spirit in our prayers. Thank you. Amen.